Yeah, I think we have a quorum, so.
Good morning, Catherine.
Thank you, Mayor. She asked me to chair the meeting today. So we're going to have the approval of the agenda, approval of the minutes, and today's agenda includes one action item and one information item. First, we will be asked to approve bus service adjustments, and see Jack's back from his vacation just in time to get the approvals. So, good to see you, Jack, which were the subject of many public hearings and extensive public outreach last fall. Based on previous actions, these adjustments, which are budget neutral, are expected to be measurably improve both ridership and reliability on bus routes that are being changed. Changes are also continue our commitment to review possible improvements outside of the budget cycle. Following Jack's presentation, Lynn Bowersox will provide an update on the progress of the Customer Care Initiative, which supports the board's goal of meeting and exceeding our customers' expectations, as well as the board's customer value statement and the GM's business plan. Should we do the approval of the agenda first? Okay, so moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor of the agenda, please say aye. Thank
aye.
You. Okay, so approved. Approval of the committee's minutes. Can I get a second to approve the minutes, please? Thank you, Kath. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the minutes approved. Your attendance is duly noted. Thank you. So that moves the agenda forward. So I'll turn to floor over to Jack Requa to lead us through the proposed bus service changes, which we've discussed on numerous occasions, and many of us chaired public hearings, so we have some feel for these changes, but they are budget neutral, which I think is important. So Jack, welcome back. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. We're here to ask the board for committee and then board approval for the staff recommendations. And also the approval of the Title VI equity analysis based on the public hearing docket that was brought forward to you last July. Again, for the third or fourth year in a row, we've gone out outside of the budget process to try to make improvements on bus routes in every jurisdiction to improve reliability and travel time and reduce crowding on as many routes as possible, and expand and improve service to low-income and minority communities. Our experiences in the past is that we've seen an increase in ridership and an increase improvement on on-time performance when we've made these actual changes. The findings from the Title VI report show no disparate impact on minority populations and no disproportionate burden on low-income populations. We had a tremendous amount of customer input into this process, not only, as Mr. Boulder mentioned, the six public hearings. We had written testimony from at least 58 people. We had pop-up meetings, community meetings, open houses, and responded to any group that wanted us to discuss any of the service changes. I know that the public participation program goes into effect this month, but the standards that are within that program were exceeded during our process. So we think that we've met the future commitments in the past, and we're pleased that we had the opportunity to meet with so many people in regards to the service changes that were recommended. So our recommendation is to move forward with the staff report and recommendations and the Title VI equity analysis. And if approved, we would be making changes in March and June to service in 2015. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Thank you, Jack. Any members of the committee or visitors to the committee have any questions that they would like to raise? Not hearing any. I just want to thank your staff, Jack, for talking to the folks down on the Minnesota Avenue corridor with respect to the public hearing that I chaired.
Yes.
concerning our bus routes vis-à-vis the soon, or hopefully soon, streetcar project in the District of Columbia. Thank you very much for settling some of the questions that were raised at that public hearing.
That was an area that of major focus this year in our attempts to improve service.
Appreciate doing that. Any discussion? Not hearing any. I'd like to move the staff report on bus service adjustments. Can I please have a second? Thank you, James. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Thank you. So moved. Okay. As I mentioned previously, I'd like now to move the agenda to Lynn Bowersox to discuss our customer care initiative. And I just want to say before Lynn takes the floor that we've had a lot of conversations on our conference calls prior to our meeting today and subsequent meetings that we've had on this initiative. It's very exciting. I think the board or the committee needs to hear more and more about this. So, Lynn, you're up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'd like to start my presentation today with a customer contact. And that customer contact today is, when using the system, please give up your train or bus seat to those in need. And for those who haven't yet seen it, over the holidays, we did put out a new poster campaign about priority seating. Those posters are on board our trains and on our buses to remind all of our customers about the importance of making priority seats available for those who may need them. And we thank the Accessibility Advisory Committee and the Access staff for their input into that information campaign. And we hope that it's a helpful reminder to all of our customers about the importance of priority seating. With that, I'd like to start today by updating you all on the Help Starts Here campaign, as you know, and as the chairman reminded us last year, 2014, we established a new authority-wide policy guiding customer care, and to introduce this policy to employees, we're going to share with you a short video today that we'll be playing in new employee orientation sessions and across the authority for our employees as a way to kick off discussion about our new policy.
The bus operator who says good morning, the station manager who helps you with the ticket machine, and the call center representative who gives you travel information are all people who make Metro a great place to work and help us shine in the communities we serve. There's also thousands of people working behind the scenes every day to improve the customer experience. The planners who program new bus routes in response to customer demand, the track workers rebuilding aging railroad, the technology pros who make the electronic displays work. They are each and every one of us who responds quickly to a need or request, who go the extra distance to help our customers on their way. And it's not just external customers, but our internal customers, our employees, who matter. Treating each other with respect and like a valued team member is the first step towards making Metro even safer and more customer-focused. Washington Metro is a cornerstone of the National Capital Region. Our customers travel across the district, Maryland, and Virginia on our buses and trains, and they rely on us to get them where they need to go safely and courteously.
When my customer's happy, I'm happy.
As you can brighten someone's day, someone could be having a bad morning, and you wake up and just say good morning, and it can brighten their whole day.
Frontline employees have countless interactions with the public throughout the course of a single day, and helping our customers get to where they're going is an important part of the job.
So yeah, different personalities getting on your bus, so you've got to know when to hold, when to fold. So regardless how the person might act towards you, continue to show good customer service, continue to be polite no matter what the situation might be.
I try to be attentive before you even think of the question. I try to make sure I look and see if you need help prior, and I also try to make sure that you never have to worry when you come here, especially if you're a visitor. I want to make sure that we take care of you and you want to come back and you'll tell your friends and your family, and then they'll want to come and travel our system.
Our customers rely on us to help them navigate the city, and it's our job to do that courteously.
It means the world. When a person is traveling from another country and had no clue what downtown D.C. looks like other than on TV, they need some help. That's what I love to do. Direct them to the monument, to the White House, give them all the help they need to get them to their destination safely as possible.
How we treat each other, both internally and externally, says a lot about Metro.
I would say about 80% of the time, my customer is internal. It's our employees, it's our colleagues, other departments, it's us internally. So it's important not only to ultimately serve the customer, our writing public, but also internally, our peers and those who depend on us to get their job done. The reason you're looking for customer service is because you need something. And the most important thing is to have somebody that's approachable. First of all, you hate looking into a person's face and you just know they don't want to help you out. And that's very frustrating because you need help at that moment. And even if they don't have the answers, if they can at least refer you or even work to find out for you, that's what I consider really good customer service.
Treating your fellow employees with respect makes for a happier and healthier work environment.
I think it creates a positive working environment and it boosts morale around here. And it gives us as an organization a different level, a different image, a different level of service. You just go in the extra mile. It's just so much easier to get our goals accomplished.
It just feels good, and I think it makes others feel good. It can make their day. So, and people can feel your smile through the phone. They can feel that you have a positive nature through the phone, so I think that's very important to be that way.
Show respect. Be helpful. Make Metro customer service the standard for other companies and organizations. Because at Metro, help starts here.
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 So as you can appreciate, that's helpful not only in setting up the right tone for our new employees, but imagine jump-starting the discussion with our new principles of supervision training, which I'm so appreciative of my colleagues in HR have put together, which we really need in terms of helping our managers learn how to be good managers. It's going to be used in the upcoming customer care training, which we'll talk about in a minute, where we've finally integrated our customer service training so that it's truly intermodal and bus and rail and access all have the same standards for customer service in terms of our training. And it's going to be a nice accompaniment to the communications about our Help Starts Here campaign as we roll it out authority-wide. So with that, I'd just like to call your attention to some of the employees that you saw in the video. Some of them will be dressed differently the next time you see them because, in fact, one of the things that Mr. Troop has contributed as part of this initiative is the recognition that those employees all dress alike. When it comes to that neon yellow vest, it's very hard for those visitors who are seeing DC for the first time or who are traveling our system even every day to identify which employee it is that can be the help to them. Is it a maintenance person? Is it a track worker? Is it a station manager or bus operator? They're all wearing neon vests. It makes it a little hard to distinguish them. So we have a new uniform program that I know you've heard about previously, and it's going to be brought forward with full-scale life real models the next time we update you from the employees who have been contributing with Rob into the input, into the design of these uniforms. But I wanted you to get a picture, you can go to the next slide, to get a sense of what these new station manager uniforms look like. So as you can see, it says on the front of their vest and it says on the back of their jacket and in other places on the uniform very clearly, station manager. It gets rid of the neon vest. Instead, they're clearly distinguishable, professional-looking uniforms that are comfortable, colorful, and look like the duties that the person is meant to perform. And so we're really excited about being able to roll these out to the customers this spring and bringing in the employees to share with you exactly what their thinking was in helping to design the new uniform. So when we come back next time, we'll tell you more about that. Also in 2014...
Can I ask this one question, sir, before you go into it? What's the rollout schedule for this station manager activity, just to give us a time frame?
So it is spring. The employees have had input into the design. The design's been vetted internally. The uniform manufacturer is literally sewing the material, and the uniforms will be distributed this spring and will begin to be worn in the spring time frame. And by that, I think it's April, May. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Should we refer to this as the Bulger look as I go forward?
So another important development, which has come out of the working group, and you'll recall that the interdepartmental working group for customer care really does include everybody, either at the executive level or at the committee level, from police and rail and bus, to the president of 689, who's been personally participating on the executive committee, to our access staff, who are participating on two committees. And so this is really an authority-wide initiative. And one of the things that was really important to us going forward was to have new job descriptions for station managers and bus operators that really incorporated the expectations around customer service and clearly communicating that, and then to develop a coaching tool that could be used in proactive conversations with frontline employees to begin to create standards, hold people accountable, and have both good recognition conversations as well as counseling conversations around customer service issues that arise. And that's a pretty new concept here at Metro. We're very pleased that that coaching tool has been reviewed and approved and is being implemented, and we'll talk about that a little bit further as I go along, too. We also had a commitment in the training and development team to integrate the three various customer service trainings into one Metro-focused customer care standardized training so that we would be truly intermodal. And to that end, we've done that, and beyond that, that process has actually sparked a lot of interest throughout the authority in doing similar kinds of training, and it's infectious. And so, for example, starting next week, HR, their recruitment staff have come in and said, you know, we want our recruitment team to be more customer-oriented, so we want to develop a training for them to understand what customer service means when recruiting new employees and when handling internal customers who are looking for new employees. And what does that mean in terms of the way we do business? So we designed that program, and it's being delivered. It starts tomorrow. The information technology department came to us and said, you know, we have a help desk that fields hundreds of calls a day from everybody in the authority whose computer is giving them a hard time, right? Either it's a user issue or it's a computer issue, hardware, software, but we need to do a better job with the customer service in that regard. Can you help us with the training that we're putting together? The police department came in and said, you know, we're putting together our 2015 objectives, and we want to make sure we have customer service objectives and that our metrics are measurable and that we can communicate this clearly. Will the customer care working group work with us to design this? So it really is starting to have the sort of intended effect of people embracing and trying to define what customer care means in their work area, and we're very, very pleased about that. Throughout the course of the year, we've been listening to employees, and this is very important at every level, to begin identifying potential opportunities as well as the barriers that they experience every day to delivering good customer care. And the three top internal issues that we've really found in listening to employees in terms of the interface with our external customers are around fare collection. We call it points of pain. It can be equipment failures. It can be refund policies that don't appear to track with what they think might work better. It could be basic fare collection in some instances. That sometimes escalates those conflicts around fare collection into employee assaults, and the safety of our employees is paramount. But understanding that that goes from being a customer conflict to a safety risk is a really important part of the work that we're trying to do, and a nut that we feel like we have to crack in order to really get employee engagement into customer service at the level that it needs to be.
And Lynn, yes, can I just ask you a question? Do we have metrics on these internal issues that in further presentations we can sort of track how it's working with especially the assaults?
We do, and we'd be glad to come back to the committee in our next update and get into more detail about that. And so that is one of the sorts of things that the executive committee is really wrestling with right now, and certainly the police department has been very focused on this. but also trying to look at, do we have policy issues out there that just don't work? And do those things create conflicts? And I'll give you a very retail example, and it's one of the things that we'll be getting further detail on and bringing back to the board, either through this process or through the budget process. But for example, today we hear from customers, we hear from employees. If I tap into a rail gate and I find out that there's a service disruption and I tap back out 20, 15 minutes later, I'm not getting a refund. I'm still getting charged. Does that policy make sense? And if we change it, what are the revenue implications for the authority? And can we make an informed judgment about whether or not there is a policy in place that's meant to decrease the opportunities to game the system, but at the expense of good customer service and really not having a huge revenue impact? And if we find that, we can change it and maybe eliminate some of the conflict that happens. But for customers who are unfamiliar with the system, the first time they encounter that, it can be very frustrating. And for the employees who have to explain it, it can be very frustrating. So those are the kinds of practical issues that are coming up that we're really looking at, and they really do merit further analysis before decision-making. But that's the kind of practical considerations that we're taking
on. That's a very good example that maybe the committee should know more about, but we've heard it before recently, but maybe that's where the station manager's enhanced capabilities would come into play, because they can go into the kiosk and check where the fare card or whatever, the smart card.
And there may be a technology solution that allows the card to get a credit back if the window of time is predetermined. So it may be something that doesn't have to be a manual application each time. So we're looking at that. Mm-hmm. The other thing that the committees are doing, we mentioned before, is building a new business tool. We mentioned that the station managers are challenged by not having good information about equipment status. And so building off of the template that exists today for data that goes to their escalator and elevator maintenance work, we're putting together a report that would be accessible to the station managers in their kiosk to check what's the status of my escalator, when's the rehab scheduled to be finished, or when's the repair scheduled to be done, what can I tell my customer in terms of expectations of the new lighting project, et cetera. And so that's underway. As you can appreciate, we have multiple legacy systems with respect to IT systems that track all of that. And trying to figure out how to get all of that into one easy-to-read layperson's report and import data from those multiple different systems is a bigger challenge than probably it sounds like. To me, it's easy. It's a report. It tells you where all the equipment in your station is in terms of status. But the back end of that is rather complicated, and the committee's working through it. With respect to the year in review, if you go to the next slide, you'll see that we have a customer care award that's being developed. And next year, when we get to our safety recognition ceremony, we'll be combining safety and customer care awards so that we can elevate this value within our organization and make sure that at the same time that we're honoring those who do wonderful jobs at safety, that while we say to people, driving a bus for a million miles without an accident is an amazing accomplishment, so too is being a legend in customer service in this organization. And so we have those employees, and we want to elevate their status and tell their story internally a little bit better. And so that's where we are in terms of 2014. And as you can see, from the time that we came to the committee and set forward our 90-day agenda, this is what we've accomplished. But we recognize that we have much more work to do. And by that I mean that it seems like every time we start a new area of focus, we find 10 more that need our attention. And so we believe that that's a sign of success. And we're putting our arms around it in 2015. And here to tell you more about that is actually Barbara Moulton, our Director of Customer Care, who's going to help share a little bit about the work plan for the coming year.
In 2015, our overarching strategy is to create model customer care programs at one bus facility and one rail facility. For rail, we're doing Largo Division, and for the bus, we're doing 4 Mile Division. This way, we can clearly monitor and adjust our efforts to ensure success, including baseline and post-action surveys of employees. The working group subcommittees are being restructured this year to better address the issues that we uncovered last year. The subcommittees for 2015 will be training and development, business intelligence tool and performance metrics, employee engagement, and the newly created internal improvement subcommittee. To really illustrate our commitment to infusing customer service in all of our business metrics, let's take a look at part of Bus Transportation's 2015 business plan. Bus Operations has established a number of customer care actionable steps by formally recognizing good behaviors, conducting 300 performance reviews at 4 mile division alone, and reducing complaints in two key areas by 2%, and that is rude and discourteousness, as well as failure to stop delays and no-shows. And as part of Customer Care 2015 work plan, the Training and Development Subcommittee will continue to expand and tease out their efforts in the area of training and development and employee engagement. In preparation of the new Help Starts Here corporate training, we'll enlist the help of master facilitators internally to support the new training. The framework and structure for local customer care committees will be developed and be phased in starting this spring. And the local committees will be a clearinghouse to ensure that employee issues and opportunities are addressed. In addition, the Training and Development Subcommittee will steward the newly created coaching tool that Lynn spoke about through to implementation by ensuring consistent application. And that's one of the things that we're very concerned about, the consistent application and use of the tool. So we're going to have some targeted, customized training for those who will use it. This year, the newly created Internal Improvement Subcommittee will address employee infrastructure issues and concerns in the field. And that might be as simple as my break room, chairs are broken, as well as addressing some of the policies and procedures that were identified last year, as Lynn mentioned. In an effort to ensure customer service becomes a way of life here at Metro, we plan to include a customer service component to the local rail rodeo competition. Just as we saw when customer service was introduced on the bus side of the house with the rail rodeo, we believe that actions taken here at Metro will be shared as industry best practices and have a larger impact industry-wide. Right now, nationally in the bus competition, customer service is a component nationally at APTA. And so that is where we're driving for. The Business Intelligence Tool and Performance Metrics Subcommittee will continue to listen to employees and hold focus groups for bus operators in the spring to better understand how we can enhance their positions, much like we did with rail. Building on the framework that we've identified for the BI tool last year, we'll launch a pilot test for the second quarter of this year that offers station managers simply repair status for information on the fare equipment. And as we build that out, it will ultimately contain more. And finally, this year's work plan for employee engagement subcommittee includes executing the internal communications plan that was created to ensure that that customer care conversation and the employee engagement continues to improve and that every employee really understands that great customer service starts with them. The campaign will be supported by visual communications and in the field with posters and holding town meetings led by Metro leadership, as well as the rollout of previously mentioned local customer care meetings. And in April, we'll be back to update you. Any questions?
Any questions from the committee? Harriet?
I just wanted to applaud you for the work that you're doing on this. I think it's pretty amazing. The only thing I would just ask about or raise a question about is the slide that talks about the 2015 BTRA plan. That I'm all about measuring results, which I think is terrific, but it seems like if your goal is a 2% reduction, you almost might just say reduction, you know, from a baseline, because it also seems like it might be a low expectation, right? So
you make a good point. I think what we're trying to do with Largo and with 4 Mile is to create laboratories where we feel like the ingredients exist to succeed already with the staff and management that are there, and there's a lot of buy-in. And so when they're trying these tools for the first time and they're going to work out any bugs, you know, we feel like the measures coming back have to be tangible enough to know whether the investment that we're making of time training tools is having an effect. I agree with you that 2% may sound artificially low. On the other hand, you want something that's achievable and measurable. So I don't know if there's a magic number that's right, whether it's 2 or 5 or 10. But if we don't set a number, I guess my concern is then how do we measure success in that laboratory so that we can export it to other divisions.
Why wouldn't you just say a reduction? So you're going to have a baseline to measure a 2% reduction. Why don't you just say that what you're hoping for is a reduction, and that since it's an experiment, you really don't know what's the upper bound of what's possible. So that way people can see, you know, what is achievable, because the difference between 2% and 1%, I mean, those are small reductions.
Well, in percentage, yes.
The percentage.
In absolute complaints, no.
Right.
Let's just see, Harriet makes a good point. Let's just see, Lynn and your staff, how the pilot works at the two sites that you have chosen, rail and bus. And let's be flexible about the benchmark until we can get the baselines and the metrics set.
But Rick, I would strongly recommend, based on my experience here, that we start out, and it's a number you're picking.
Yeah.
Pick a number, and then next year when you come back, you have some experience, then you can set with more information. More, you know, a realistic number, but it's good for the folks to have something to shoot for, and they can then say, yeah, I've had some success.
So you'll come back, Rich, next time and tell us how we're doing on this. I heard that the record show.
I'll send you an email.
Thank you, Rich.
I'd like to restate it, though. I do take Mr. Gunning's point. A minimum of 2% improvement, okay. I think, would not set an upper boundary.
Okay.
Would that be a friendly amendment?
I think what you're trying to tell people is that, you know, it's kind of exciting to be engaged in an experiment, and it's also exciting to think that, you know, potentially the sky's the limit, and you don't want to constrain people by saying we have pretty modest expectations for what you'll be able to do here, when in fact we don't know. Mm-hmm. Right, and our future expectations will be set based on what they're able to achieve. So, you know, go for it.
Right, thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions, Madam?
I just want to raise this. I think I raised this the last time too. I love all this. I think the culture change that's happening is just phenomenal, and I really applaud you all for going through this little door and finding out that you could create so much other collaboration and new thinking. My one concern about this is sustainability from the leadership point of view. And the last time you presented, I raised the issue of what's the board involvement, because I think it is important that the board be actively perceived by employees as cheerleaders, as champions, as saying this is what we know you can do it. And so I just would like to hear how, you know, dumb as it sounds, you know, a picture of all of us saying thumbs up, way to go in Help Starts Here may convey something much greater than any of us could in the few, you know, interactions we have with the regular stations we use. So I just would ask you to think through, because this leadership's going to have some changes too, and we just really need to keep the continuity and the commitment evident to the employees even as we swap out people in these key jobs on both sides, both management and board.
Thank you. We will, and we will think about it not only in terms of materials, but in terms of appearances at town hall meetings and at the award ceremony and other opportunities, some more time-consuming, but we'll try to come up with lots of different options.
Kath.
I just also wanted to extend my thanks and to say that I appreciate the way that you've taken this on, too. Mary mentioned, you know, culture change is not an easy thing to do, and I think you're really approaching it in a very systematic and comprehensive way. And I think that this approach is very likely to have ongoing, lasting benefits, and I appreciate that approach, and I appreciate the sense of the seriousness of it. So thank you very much.
Any other questions or discussion by members of the committee? If not, then that adjourns the meeting, and I appreciate it, and Happy New Year.
Thank you.